Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 14 and then reading verses 36 to 47. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread in home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And our gospel reading comes from the last chapter of Luke, chapter 24. Reading from verses 13 to 35. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. He took bread when he was at table with them. He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. In this is the word of the Lord.
The story of the travellers on the road to Emmaus. It's probably one of the best known stories in the Christian tradition. Many of us have heard it time and time again. And we can ask all sorts of intellectual questions about it. Where exactly is Emmaus? Those of you who were listening carefully may be able to respond, well, it was 11 kilometres from Jerusalem. But which direction? Whereabouts? Which of the villages that are about that distance away might have actually been Emmaus? Who is Cleopas? And who was he walking with that day? He seems to have been a disciple. Not one of the 12, but a disciple. Was it a close friend he walked with that day? Another member of his household? His brother? Sister? His wife? Maybe his mother? What did they really see that day? What really happened? Did it really happen? Now, some of these questions are interesting, and I'm willing to spend some time exploring them, but I fear they risk taking us down the wrong road. John Dominic Crossan calls the Emmaus Road story, and are you ready for this? Listen. The metaphoric condensation of the first years of Christian thought and practice into one parabolic afternoon. The metaphoric condensation of the first years of Christian thought and practice into one parabolic afternoon. He said, this is a story that speaks to us of what early Christians thought and what they did. His next comment I found much more meaningful and helpful. Emmaus never happened. Emmaus always happens. At Easter time, and that is the season we are in the midst of, at Easter time, that is the event that we remember and celebrate not only today but each and every Sunday. And it is the day that the story is set on. At Easter time of all times, I think it's time to let go of our need or our attempts to literalise the stories that Christians of earlier years have passed on to us as a gift, because it was a way that they found valuable to enter into the truth of Easter. At Easter time of all times, we need to go beyond the literal and listen to the resurrection stories without looking to them as proof. We need to listen. Listen without thinking about what this proves or what it fails to prove. And listen to the significance of these events. The significance for the characters in the story. The significance for those who first heard it. The significance for us. So, we're going to hear the story again. Settle back. Find a comfortable position. If it helps, focus on the image that's on the screen. You might like to see who you can imagine yourself to be as the story unfolds. Or if it's more helpful, close your eyes. Listen, remember, imagine. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 11 kilometres from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. On that same day, it is the end of a long day. A long day that started with the women going to the tomb. The end of the third day. The third day after the death of one they dearly loved. The end of the third day when all they had hoped for had come to a violent and sudden end. Are there times in your life when you have walked this road, the road of grief and loss, the road of lost hopes, the road of dreams and plans painfully ended? What did it feel like? How hard was it to think, to make sense of what had happened? Who have been your companions on the road of lost hopes? Who has travelled with you, remembering, focusing only on what seemed possible in the past, struggling to make sense of the present with you? While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." It's a strange mixture of betrayal and lost hope that accompanies them on their walk. Have there been times when your lost hope has been intensified by the betrayal of those you trusted? Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. In the days to come, Cleopas and his companion would discover the good news that lay behind the women's words. But at this point on the road, it only adds to their confusion. When you were feeling without hope, lost, confused, what sort of things happened that added to your sense of loss and confusion and hopelessness? Can you identify some of those now as good news, the start of new possibilities? Who came to you with good news? Who stuck with you even when you found it hard to believe what they told you? Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. Jesus carefully but honestly reminds the two travellers of the wisdom they already have. He isn't telling them new things. He is reminding them of scriptures with which they are already familiar. He isn't telling them new things. He's telling them things that they have heard during his life as he walked with them. But he doesn't insist on them continuing on the journey. He doesn't force his presence on them. He's prepared to give them space. Who has walked with you on the road? Honestly, encouragingly, helping you to rediscover the truths you already knew. Who has given you the space to reconnect with the deeper meaning of divine reality? But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. A simple yet powerful action made Jesus present among them, made them aware of the presence of God in human form. What ordinary acts have made Jesus present to you? Have made you aware of the divine presence? Have made you aware of God with you? The caring word, the honest word, the readiness to walk with you, to listen, the casserole left for you, or the invitation to rejoin an activity you had left. A word of scripture shared, the faithful prayers and singing of the people around you when you can hardly believe the words that are said. So filled were they with this experience that the day they thought was over, the journey they thought was over, is suddenly made possible again. And they go out back onto the road to race through the darkness to share this good news. The life, the hope they thought was ended, is brought back to life among them. They experience resurrection and cannot wait to share it. What have been the times when you have known the resurrection of hope in your life? What have you wanted to share because of it? Has it helped you become more understanding, more generous, more ready to walk with others? Let us look at the image again. Which one have you imagined yourself to be? Which one can you imagine yourself to be? Did that change during the story? It's hard to know how to end a story like this, a reflection like this, because to me it speaks of a continuing life of Christian community, and that never ends. The story speaks of what happens to the early church on the road, or if we translate it more literally, on the way. And that is one of the terms that the early church used to refer to itself, the people of the way. And it is a reminder of the power of being on the way. I want to leave you with a quote from William Willimon talking about experiencing the resurrection where we live. Whether we live in Emmaus or McGill, or Athelstan, or Tranmere. Whether we live in the midst of grief and confusion, or the joy of new discovery, or the ordinariness of day after day. If you want to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life, where you live, just get up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other and head down the road. Follow the way. But please, go with a bit of imagination. Walk with the expectation of the possibility of surprise.